All right, well, to quickly review where we have been so far in our series, Spirit People, Jesus said that it was better for us for him to go away than for him to remain with us, which is a crazy thing for Jesus to say, but we believe it to be true. He said that instead of having the Son of God in front of us, we would have the Spirit of God living inside of us. And amazingly, before there were any gifting of the Spirit or fruit of the Spirit, Jesus breathed life into his followers and into the church and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Meaning the good news is if you're following Jesus and you want the Holy Spirit, you've got him. Like you've got him. You have him. That the Holy Spirit is residing in us and working in us well before we may see anything flow out of us. But, and this is amazing, eventually what the Spirit is doing in us does flow out of us in unmistakable ways that change everything for us. And so we're asking the question for these next few weeks, what is the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in us and for us and through us? What is the Holy Spirit's role in our lives as we follow Jesus? What is the job of the Holy Spirit? What's the work that the Holy Spirit does in us so that what God desires to flow out of us into the world around us can actually happen in us and come from us? Last week we said the Holy Spirit works to bring us comfort and conviction. Comfort and conviction. Comfort to make us stronger, to build our patient endurance in us, to endure the uncomfortable of life. And he brings us conviction as the Spirit draws our attention to anything in us that stands in the way of what God has for us. Comfort to make us stronger, conviction to make us better. So that's where we've been. And today, as we continue to look at the work of the Spirit in our lives, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever taken something that was one thing and had to try to turn it into something else? Have you ever done that? Had to work to make it into a whole other thing? Now, I ask if you ever have, but what I know is every single one of you listening and watching today, you've done this at some point along the way of your life, and I actually know most of you have done it today, because what I know about you is that what your hair looks like right now is not the way your hair looked like when you woke up and rolled out of bed this morning. When you rolled out of bed this morning, you didn't have a hairstyle. You had a mess, right? Is that like, would you just hit the like button right now? If you had a mess when you rolled out of bed, you're like, oh, I can't let anybody see me like this. You had a mess and you had to put in some work to transform that mess into a presentable hair style. And you got a shower, you dried your hair, maybe you used a blow dryer, may have used some product, used a brush or a comb, and after all, maybe you used a straightener, maybe you used a curler, I don't know what you did, but after all of that work, your hair looks entirely different from what you woke up with. You put in the work because you wanted to be presentable to the people around you, even if you're not leaving the house, you still wanted to be presentable to the people around you, and I applaud that. Husbands and wives, or people in romantic relationships of any kind, I'm going to tread a little bit carefully here, but you know you got one person and you've tried to do some work to transform them into the version of them that you actually want them to be. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Ladies, you got the guy and you thought, well, he's good looking, he's smart, he's charming, but he's completely useless around the house. He's a disaster in the kitchen, and his aim in the bathroom is laughable, right? That's your experience, and you've gone to work to try to turn him into someone who's helpful around the house and brings his hunting aim into the bathroom, right? Guys, you got the girl, and she's great, and you love her, but she cooks the way her family cooks, and you keep working to try to get her to cook like your mom cooked. And guys, I you're working hard and you're working stealthily and you're bringing little comments and you're bringing little comments and you're buying the ingredients for the things that your family cooked and not the stuff that her, like, but I'm just telling you, like, you're working hard and you're trying to get her to cook that, to cook a certain way. And let me just tell you, don't. That's just some really good advice. Like don't do that, okay? Just learn to like her cooking. Or while we're talking about cooking, again, maybe this isn't you transforming something, but maybe you've done this, but we're all grateful that along the way of life of eating that people transform things from one thing into another thing. Like what you're cooking has already been transformed and will continue to be transformed while you're cooking or right before you eat it at a restaurant. You're making a cheeseburger. Well, someone took a cow and butchered it, giving you the ground beef that you will use to transform it again into a burger by forming it and adding heat. And Someone took another cow, or maybe the same cow. I don't know how this all works. Someone took another cow and milked it and then transformed some of that milk into the cheese that you will melt on your burger. Aren't you glad for transformation, right? See, we're all familiar with the idea of transformation, which is good, because what the Holy Spirit wants to accomplish in us is that we wouldn't just make a better version of ourselves and a stronger version of ourselves. The work of the Holy Spirit that I want to talk about today is actually that the Holy Spirit wants to transform us, make us something that's not just better or stronger, but to transform us into something entirely different and entirely new. So today, again, I want to talk about two things that the Spirit of God wants to do in us, one that's an entire transformation and one that should flow out of the transformation. The first thing is this, that the Holy Spirit works within us to develop a Christ-like character. The Holy Spirit works within us, inside us, from the inside out and from the outside in, to develop Christ-like character, to transform us so that our character, our actions, our thoughts, everything about us would look like what Jesus would do if he were in our shoes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 17, Paul wrote this. He said, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom." We're like, yay, I like that part. I want there to be freedom. I don't want to feel like it's religion. I don't want to feel like it's routine. I don't want to feel like I just have to do, like it's X, Y, like it's just some big equation I have to figure out. We love that there is freedom. And he says, "We all, with unveiled faces, are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed." We've seen the glory of the Lord. We have an example from Jesus, and it's like we're looking into a mirror. We're trying to look at something that maybe we can't see in the flesh, but we've had described to us. And we are being transformed into the same image. Now, would you, wherever you are, on the count of three, would you say being transformed? On one, two, three. Being transformed. And now would you say into the same image? One, two, three. Into the same image. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. He says, we're looking at the glory of the Lord. And when he's referencing the glory of the Lord, this was shorthand for Paul saying, we're looking at Jesus. We're looking at the example he set for us. We're looking at the goodness of God. We're looking at the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, the patience of Jesus, the strength of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus, the gentleness of Jesus, the goodness of God that was displayed through Jesus, the self-control, the kindness of Jesus. We're looking at Jesus's life and the perfection that God put on display in human history through Jesus. We're looking at the glory of the Lord. And while we're looking at the glory of the Lord, if the Spirit is working in our lives, as we're looking at the glory of the Lord, we realize where we fall short and we transform ourselves, or the Spirit works to transform us, to change our very nature, to change our thoughts, to change our words, to change our heart, to change everything about us, to change us from the inside out and from the outside in, into the same image. Not just transformation in general. Some of you've gone through a season of life where you lost a lot of weight, and people called that a transformation because you went from a person who was 250 pounds to a person who was 200 pounds. And the physical transformation was a big deal. And that's a transformation of one kind. But Paul says this is a specific type of transformation. It's not just going from one random thing to another random thing. We're being transformed from one random thing into one specific thing, and the specific thing that we're being transformed into is we're being transformed into the same image of Jesus Christ, that what was on display in him as the Spirit works in our life should be what comes from and what is displayed in and through us. His joy, our joy. His peace becomes our peace. His love, our love would look like his. Our grace will look like his grace. Our thoughts will look like his thoughts. Our self-control will grow to become like his self-control. Our gentleness will be like his gentleness. What we consider good and the good that comes from us will flow to look like his. Now, Paul went on, and if that's not challenging enough, Paul went on in Galatians chapter 5, writing to the church in Galatia, to say this. He said, "But the fruit of the Spirit..." You've heard this before. Some of you might even be able to quote this. You don't need me to actually read it. You don't need it on the screen. You could read it. Just say it along with me. He said, the fruit of the Spirit The fruit that the Spirit produces. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And he says the law is not against such things. There's no law that prohibits or works against you being any of that. He says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, meaning the stuff that's in me that doesn't look like that, we put it to death. We crucify it with Jesus. We crucify the flesh with my passions and my desires. And he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And I love that he talks about fruit. And we're going to kind of just pause here for a second. See, fruit grows because a seed is planted in the ground. An apple tree grows because an apple seed was planted in the ground. You're like, whoa, hold on. I'm going to blow your mind a little bit more. A pear tree grows because a pear seed was planted in the ground. Pecan trees grow at some point along the way because a pecan seed was planted in the soil. Fruit grows because a seed is planted in the ground. And in our spiritual life, in our life with the Spirit, fruit grows because the Spirit has been planted in us. See, in the physical world, fruit grows because a seed is planted in the ground. In our spiritual life, fruit grows because the Spirit has been planted inside of us. And Paul says, when the Spirit is planted in you, here's what will come out of you. Here's the fruit that your life will eventually bear. You will bear and you will grow love. You'll grow patience. You'll grow faithfulness. You'll become the most faithful version of yourself that you've ever been. You won't be faithless. You'll be faithful. You'll be patient. You won't go off the deep end at the slightest provocation. You'll actually be patient. You won't be selfish. You'll be a person of sacrificial love. You'll be a person of joy. You'll be a person of kindness. You'll be a person of gentleness. That where other people are harsh, you'll be gentle. Where it be in your natural and in your nature to be harsh, you will find it in yourself a way to be gentle. You'll find instead of wanting to be coarse with other people, you'll be kind. Instead of looking at the worst side of things, you'll find joy in any given situation. You'll have a peace that goes beyond understanding, that beyond the circumstances of life, which would tell you that you should be anxious, you'll find peace. That beyond that when someone does evil to you and you have the choice of responding with vengeance or responding with goodness, you'll respond with goodness. He says the last fruit, it's going to be self-control. And you're like, that's the hardest one. Yeah, because it actually refers to controlling ourself and controlling the nature that's within us so that what's in us doesn't always come out of us, but we control ourselves so we choose what's right, not what feels good in any given moment. And what you notice there is that when you look to the life of Jesus, when you put this verse together with what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he says, in one, the Spirit is working to transform us into the same image so that what was displayed in Jesus would actually be displayed in us. Do you notice that what Paul describes as the fruit of the Spirit is almost exactly just everything we saw in the life of Jesus? That in Jesus, we saw perfect love. We saw perfect patience. We saw perfect faithfulness, like completely faithful to the one who sent him. We saw patience with his disciples who were sometimes bumbling idiots. And he's patient with us who are sometimes bumbling idiots. We saw the personification of love. We saw joy as he promised, my joy will be in you. That Jesus was not a dullard to be around, but he was full of joy. And no matter what the circumstances of life were, Jesus was filled with joy. That Jesus expressed kindness constantly, that Jesus was gentle, that instead of being harsh, Jesus always responded with gentleness, that Jesus was a person who had perfect peace. Knowing that he was going to a cross, Jesus had peace within himself. Jesus was good. I mean, like, he even refers to some people like, why would you say I'm good? Wink. Because, like, you say I'm good, why would you say that? Is it because you've seen in me goodness flowing constantly? And in Jesus, we see entirely a person who is self-controlled. We see Jesus. And so the idea of the fruit of the Spirit, what the Spirit of God is trying to do within us is that the fruit of the Spirit is trying to produce fruit that looks like Jesus. This is the simple way I'm going to kind of end this little portion here. Simply this, that the fruit of the Spirit is a life that looks like the Son. The fruit of the Spirit is a life that looks like the Son. That if the Spirit of God is truly working within us, what the Spirit of God will produce in us is a Christ-like character, that what flows out of us would look like what would flow out of Jesus if Jesus were living in Las Cruces in 2024, or wherever it is that you find yourself living in 2024. That wherever you are, if Jesus were there, what flows out of you would be the same thing that would flow out of Him. That when someone says something to you that you don't like, that what flows out of you in response is what would flow out of Jesus if the person said the same thing to Him. That when given an opportunity to be harsh or gentle, that you would choose what Jesus would choose, and you would choose gentleness. That more and more and more, as the Spirit works in us, our natural works is a new nature. Our character is a new character. We've become a new person, and the person that we've become and the nature that has developed and the character that is coming from us and displayed out of us is a character and a nature and a personality that looks and sounds exactly like Jesus. And you're like, that's a high bar. That's why God gives us the Holy Spirit, because this is something that we can't do in ourselves. We can't do by ourselves. But with the Holy Spirit working in us to bring conviction and raise our awareness of where we fall short, and bring, as we said last week, a little bit of guilt when we miss the mark. Paul says the Spirit will work in you to produce a life that looks like Jesus. What Paul describes as the fruit of the Spirit is a life that looks exactly like the life of the Son. And so the fruit of the Spirit is a life that looks like the life of the Son. And that's what the Spirit of God will work in us and will work in you to accomplish, as you say, sensitive to what the Spirit may be pointing out, to what the Spirit may be drawing your attention to what the Spirit is whispering in your quiet times, to what the Spirit is whispering to you as you open the pages of Scripture and drawing your eyes to and drawing your attention to, saying, this is the person I want you to become, because this is a person that looks like Jesus. That's what God wants to do in every single one of our lives. And He's given us the Spirit, His own Spirit inside of us, dwelling within us, to move us in the direction that we would become more and more, and little by little and little, and a lot by a lot by a lot. But as time goes on, that we would become more and more and more like Jesus, because the fruit of the Spirit is a life that looks like the life of the Son. Now, that's the first thing I want to talk about. And the second thing is a thing that I think actually flows out of that, or I'll say this, at the very least, is superpowered by that. That if we try to do this next thing without getting that part right, I think we might miss something along the way. So here's the second thing that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. The Holy Spirit works in us to develop a Christ-focused power. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, starting in verse 6, Jesus was about to ascend into heaven after the resurrection, walked and talked with His disciples and His followers, and 500 different people saw Him, many of them going to their graves, swearing that they saw the resurrected Jesus, that they walked and talked with Him, they ate with Him, they saw the nail scars in His hands and in His feet, they saw the spear hole in His side, they saw the resurrected Jesus. So He walks and talks with them for 40 days. Then He leads them up onto a hill, and He's about to ascend into heaven. And they ask the question in verse 6. Here's how the conversation began. So when they had come together, they asked Him, "Lord, are You restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time?" They're like, okay, He returned from the dead. He's alive forever. He's told us He's alive forever. Now is going to be the time where Israel comes back to be. Woo! I mean, like, they are excited. And at the same time, Jesus is like, oh my gosh, they have still missed the point. They think this is about Israel, where this is about something so much bigger. This isn't just about one nation. This is about the whole world. So He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be My," what's that word? "Witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is what, when I say the Holy Spirit works in us to develop a Christ-focused power, what I'm saying is that the Holy Spirit fills us with power, not just for power's sake, but fills us with an inner power to be witnesses telling people about Jesus, telling people about the new life that we have in Christ, telling people about the forgiveness of sin that's available because of what Jesus did on the cross, that the Holy Spirit, when he's working within us, he fills us with a power. And some of us, we stop there, we're like, woo, he fills us with power. And now we can go, you know, pick up a chainsaw and go cut down, now we can tear phone books apart. And that's a joke about the power team back in the day. But the idea is that the Holy Spirit fills us with power, not just for power's sake, but he fills us with a power that's Christ-focused, that a power that's focused on what Christ did in us and what Christ did for us, and a power that wants to share what Christ did in us and what Christ did for us with everyone around us. That the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, and as he dwells inside of us, he fills us with a power and an ability to be witnesses of the resurrection life that Jesus has for us and the forgiveness that God has extended to all of us through Jesus. And as we talk about that, I just want to talk about three things that I think the Holy Spirit develops within us as he's filling us with power to be witnesses. I want to talk about how this happens. I think it happens through filling us with a desire, through filling us with opening our eyes to opportunities, and through actually making us effective when we witness. So let me talk about the desire to witness. In the natural, I have almost no desire to have spiritual conversations with people who don't care about the things of God. Is that in you at all? Like when I think about it, just like Chris, like even as a pastor, there's almost zero desire in my natural ability, in my natural, you know, personality, to go have spiritual conversations with people who don't believe in Jesus. There's almost zero in that. But what happens is the Spirit of God develops in me and has developed in me a desire to see people come to know Jesus and for them to come to know Jesus through my life and through my witness. In my natural, there's almost no desire to go have those conversations. I'm just not wired that way. Some of you may be wired that way. But that's something that the Spirit of God, as I've surrendered my life to Jesus, that's something that the Spirit of God has grown and developed in me. And for some of you, if you're like, you know what, I don't really have a desire for that in my natural, that's okay that you don't have a desire for it in the natural. That's something that the Spirit of God develops in us. He develops a desire for us to be witnesses and to share with our life and to share with our words the goodness and love of God that's on display through Jesus. The Spirit develops a desire where it's not in my natural, but through the Spirit, he's developed and grown a desire for people to come to know Jesus through my life and through my witness. And that's not just on the stage as a pastor. It's in my neighborhood. It's at my kids' school. It's wherever I go, that like, there's this thing that like, as the Spirit works in my life, I want people to know Jesus through me. The second way the Holy Spirit brings this to fruition in our lives is he opens our eyes to opportunities to witness. Like when in the moments of my life where I'm not living, paying attention to the Spirit's leading, it's amazing how I don't end up having any conversations or opportunities to share the love of Jesus where I'm like, oh, I want to. But like, if my eyes aren't open, if my ears aren't attentive, I'll miss the opportunities and I'll not have the conversations. But when I'm living, actively paying attention to the Spirit's leading, like I don't just have a stronger desire to have spiritual conversations, but I find them springing up almost out of thin air. Literally the other night I had just spoken at a youth event in Alamogordo, New Mexico. And my family, we went out to grab some food at Applebee's before driving back to Las Cruces. And Applebee's was where we used to go out to eat all the time after youth ministry in Alamogordo. So I was like, well, this is kind of like this is something that we always used to do. So we stopped there and we're talking, and the waitress keeps apologizing for how busy the night is. And we're like, okay, it's fine. Like we're doing great. You're doing great. You know, everything's great. And she goes, you know, but the crazy thing, like I've heard that this is nothing compared to some of the Sunday nights, like a number of years ago. Apparently there was this group that used to bring in like 50 kids at a time, and they would just be, you know, it wasn't like they were bad. It was just, there was so many of them. They would show up at 9 o'clock on a Sunday night for half price appetizers. And I'm like, well, the crazy thing that you would actually mention that is that was my group. I used to be a youth pastor in town, and now I'm a pastor over in Las Cruces, but I was here tonight, and so I brought my family because we wanted to have the whole experience. And she's like, oh, I think it's so great. And we start talking, and it opens up this opportunity where she goes, wait a minute, you said you pastor in Las Cruces? I've got some family over there. And I like, could you give me a card? Because I know they're looking for a church. You know, like this moment that just sprung up out of nowhere. And I'm just telling you, like, it's something that happens as the Spirit grows your desire. He also grows and reveals to you and opens your eyes and allows opportunities to come out of almost thin air. Like the chances that this waitress had this conversation with of all people, me on that night. I mean, like, it's almost out of thin air, but he brings opportunities to the table when we're paying attention to the things that he is bringing our attention to. And then the final thing that he does in our lives is he actually grows our effectiveness when you witness. I mean, like that actually people move toward Jesus because of your words and your changed life. That in your natural, and it's, some of you, you've tried sharing Jesus with your natural ability like I have at different times in my life. It comes out clumsy and it comes out clunky and you hate yourself after trying. Like, right? That when you're like, okay, I'm going to try this, and you don't realize it, but you're trying and you're like, I'm going to try to explain Jesus. I'm going to try to, you know, these four laws and the Romans road, and I'm going to do, and all the ways that we've been taught, and like all the different stuff. And I think that's all great stuff. But in your natural, you go with your natural and you end up like, why would I ever try to do that again in my entire life? But I'm telling you, when you allow the Spirit of God to lead a conversation, there's something powerful that happens. And it still might feel clunky and clumsy to you, but in the life of the person that you're talking to, somehow that conversation develops a hunger for God in them. The Holy Spirit, he grows our desire to witness, he reveals our opportunities to witness, and he grows our effectiveness when we witness. And so here's the question that I have for us as we kind of close out this section. Like, do you have a desire? As you're following Jesus, do you have a desire to share Jesus with other people? If not, that's okay. But if not, I want you to begin there and ask God through his Holy Spirit to develop in you a desire to see people come to know Jesus through you. Do you have a desire, but you don't seem to see opportunities? I want you to ask God to open your eyes through his Holy Spirit in you. That, like, if you're like, I have a desire, like, God has grown in me a desire, but I don't see the opportunities. I don't know why, but I never seem to have an opportunity. I can promise you the opportunities are there, but maybe we just need to lean into what the Spirit is doing inside of us and have the Spirit open our eyes to the opportunities that are actually all around us. Do you have a desire and you seemingly have opportunities, but you don't seem to be very effective? Ask God to guide your mind and to guide your mouth. It may just be as simple as that, that instead of trying harder in the natural, that we actually just simply lean into what the Spirit wants to say through us to the people around us. Now, I mentioned that these two things actually work together, and you're kind of like, well, so I become more like Jesus and I tell people about Jesus. I don't necessarily, like, you know, the Holy Spirit works to develop Christ-like character, and he develops a Christ-focused power. Like, how do those two things work together? See, here's the goal. Here's how these two work together. As our lives do a better job of showing Jesus, we become more effective at sharing Jesus. When what comes out of you is love and patience and grace and mercy and gentleness and self-control, as people see that flowing from you, then when you tell people about Jesus, they actually see a transformed life that's come from you because of Jesus, and it supercharges and it superpowers our witnessing about Jesus. As our lives do a better job of showing Jesus, we become more effective at sharing Jesus. That when we tell people about how much Jesus changes our lives, we know it because we've experienced it, because we've allowed the Holy Spirit to change our lives. We're not just telling people about the change that's been brought about in someone else's life. We know he's actually brought about a change in our life. And when we say he can change your life, they recognize it in us because they see a life that's been changed by Jesus and by the Spirit of God at work in us. As our lives do a better job of showing Jesus, we become more effective at sharing Jesus. And so today, once again, I want us to close in a prayer and that acknowledges these two things that the Spirit does in our lives. And again, it's going to be very short. We'll be sharing it on social media this week. If you aren't on social media and you want a copy of it, just please simply email me. I'll send you the image, or I'll send you the text of this. But here's what we're going to pray together. We're going to pray, Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence in my life. Every time we pray, we're going to simply acknowledge that the Spirit is present in our lives. Thank you for your presence in my life. I invite your work in my life to make me more like Jesus, so I can be more effective in sharing Jesus. Would you pray that with me today as we close? On the count of three, ready? One, two, Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence in my life. I invite your work in my life to make me more like Jesus so I can be more effective in sharing Jesus. Heavenly Father, would you help us to do that today? Would you help us to realize the work that your Holy Spirit is doing in us to make us more like you? Would we constantly allow the Holy Spirit to convict and transform our lives so that our lives look more like the life of the Son? And God, as our lives look more and more like the life of the Son, we ask that you would use that to lead people and draw people to you through our witness, through our words, through our mind, through our mouth, through our actions, through the way we treat people, through everything about us. Help us to be your witnesses and help us to be witnesses of what Jesus can do for anyone as we're witnesses of what he's done in us because our lives look more like Jesus. We love you, God, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.